Oh, right, okay, okay. I did. Gets you into trouble. Right, we're continuing the journey through John. And last week, sometimes I have to shout, John. So last week, we touched on the first of three sermons to do with love. We followed on last week from Kenny's, where we did the foot washing in church. And Jesus takes that, and we'll be looking at it again, and he gives the disciples a new commandment. Anybody want to take a wild guess about what the new commandment was? Thank you all for paying attention. There you go. Love one another as I have loved you. That's what he says, and we'll get to that in a moment. So I thought I'd begin this week with looking at the old commandment. So if we start in Leviticus, that got some by surprise. I want you to notice this. This is the old commandment that God gave to the Jewish nation. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over. I'll let you into a clue here. He's telling them over and over again, do not, do not, do not, do not. Anyone want to tell me why God has to say to you, do not do something? Sophia, that's fantastic. Why would we get into trouble? Why would we get into trouble? Well, we give him too much credit sometimes. Selfish, yeah. It's amazing what God is going to tell them not to do something. Because if he didn't tell them, they would do it. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. And John made the point, actually, that all humanity, doesn't matter race, age, male, female, all humanity is made in the image of God. And God cares for everyone. This is, I like verse 11, do not steal. In other words, if I don't tell you not to do it, you'll be all stealing. Well, what a right bunch you are this morning. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And he's reminding them. And then 13, do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. In other words, pay your bills as they become due. Don't rob someone. Don't steal. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. Once again, I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not, do not, do not, do not. All there. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in their guilt. And then he hits them with this. Verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And if you understand what's happening in the Old Testament, God called a nation, created this nation, gave them a totally new standard to live by, and had the Jews followed what God had asked them to do, then he would have been able to hold this people up before the world and said to the rest of the world, look, I'm a living God. I am the Lord, and these people follow my words, and that would be very attractive. That will always draw people when you lift something like that up. Of course, we know that Israel failed in the very mission that God gave them. And so we enter the New Testament. And of course, understand this. Even though that God gave Israel the mission, God also knew they would fail. It's not God's fault. If they'd followed the plan, well. But they don't follow the plan. And of course, if you're familiar with any of the Gospels, you'll know that the story of the Good Samaritan, the Jews had nailed this down. they knew who their neighbour was, or they thought they knew who their neighbour was. Let me just ask you, church-going public, who is your neighbour? Oh, good. Some of you are good today. Everyone. What, even those that you don't like? Let me ask that again. Even those that you don't like? Even those that actually are not like you? Really not like you? Liverpool fans? Am I actually called to love Liverpool fans? It would appear so. All right, well, let's have a look. Let's look at the next one, the New Testament. Let's see what we can find here. John chapter 13. We'll go back to what we were looking at last week. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. He said he's got hours left with them, and these next five chapters are this intimate conversation that he's having. And if John had not told us what was happening, we don't have a record. He says, look, you look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I now tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. A couple of chapters earlier, he'd been speaking to the general populace, and he'd said to them, I'm going to a place you can't come. And they wondered on earth what was that about. This part is to his disciples, and he's telling them in advance, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to a place and a purpose that you can't possibly fulfill. They're not listening. Kenny made the point a couple of weeks ago. They're hearing words, but they are not listening. And so he hits them. Verse 34. A new command. Well, it's not new, as in it's a brand new idea. It's new, as in it's all encompassing. Now we've gone outside of the nation. And also, it's impossible. And you know in your heart it's impossible. You know, and I made the point last week, that there's no one in this room that loves like we should love. That's edifying, isn't it? Built you up nicely this morning. Goodbye, over and out. No? Of course not. Of course not. You've got to look at the nation. That was the command to the nation. They didn't do what he asked them to do. Question this morning is, are you and I going to do what our Lord asks us to do? I made the point last week. They saw the foot washing. But we broke it down into four individual things. You could look at it and say that Jesus loved those disciples selflessly. Selflessly. He washed Judas' feet. He bathed them. He treated Judas just the same as everyone else. Jesus loved sacrificially. We know that because he went to the cross. He went for the cross for Judas, the very person he's betraying. He went to the cross for everyone, including you, including me. Jesus loved his disciples understandably. He understands the person. And I think sometimes that's one of the areas that we actually fall down on. We treat everyone as though they're like us. Well, I look around the room and you are a funny bunch. Really funny. Sam, there's none more funnier than you. And I love you. When you've not been here, Sam, there's something missing in this church. And that's great. Some of you are not easy to love. So it's like that. Okay. You and Tina will get on well this morning. She's been all over me like a rash. Right, okay. Look, and the fourth point up from last week was this. Jesus loved forgivingly. Do you know sometimes we keep this record of wrongs? We keep these record of wrongs. And in this room, there is such a huge potential. Such an amazing potential. Just as the same potential was in those 11 disciples around that meal. If they will do what he asked them to do. And look, on the one hand it's impossible. But on the other hand, in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we yield daily to the leading of the Spirit of God, the Spirit that dwells within his children, we can do this. We might not be doing it now. And it took John years. This is the guy who wanted to call down fire on a Samaritan village just to make a point. And Jesus had to tell him off. By the time he's writing this, he's probably he's probably very old. Older than Anne. Everyone look at Anne. But John's contributing something amazing. And he understands. Do you know the exposition of this passage? If you want to know what this command is, read 1 John. Read 1 John, because he writes this gospel, but he also tells us what love looks like in 1 John. And it's an amazing exposition of it. He says, don't just use your mouth. Don't just say, I love you. Actually, lay down your life for someone. Now, that's a big ask, isn't it? Particularly if it's a Liverpool fan. But we won't harp on about that. As I have loved you, so you must. And it's emphatic. It is not a choice. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's a must. You must love people. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. People outside, people you've never met, people that you work with, if we can do this love, they will know. It doesn't say that everyone will become a believer, that everyone will join you at your church. It doesn't say that. It just says that they will know who you are. Because you'll be reflecting him. Then it's up to them what they do with that information. We can become and should be living epistles, living letters of the love of God. So that when you go to work, Jesus is going to work. In your house, in your home, does Kenny reflect Jesus? Careful where we go with this. Yes. Does Mel reflect Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. Fancy telling lies in church. Yeah. Always?
Not always.
See me later. I want to play a little game. Put the next scripture up from the ground, please. Oh no, I must deal with this. Sorry. Simon Peter, verse 36, asked him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. And that church history shows that Peter himself died on the cross. It shows that, and it's history, it's not in your Bible, so don't go looking for this, but church history records that Peter, when he was crucified, wouldn't be crucified the right way up. He wanted to be crucified upside down. And even the fact that his wife was crucified in front of him. You think they got on? Oh, okay, fell on stony ground. I thought it was quite okay. Verse 37, Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Does he lay down his life for you? Will you really lay down your life for me? For very truly I tell you this, before the cock crows, you'll disown me 3 times. And we're going to look at that. But first, let's just look at the 1 Corinthians passage. Yes, Gemma? Because it was the method of execution that the Romans favoured for non-Romans. And the option is this, look. You can deny Jesus is your Lord and declare the emperor to be your Lord, the Roman emperor. The Roman emperors had this thing that they were divine, that they were like a god. And they accepted the worship of the nation and people. And because Rome conquered the known Mediterranean area then, they imposed that on. They didn't mind you having another god. They're polytheistic, right, more than one. But you must accept that the emperor was God. Peter said, no. Actually, Jesus is my Lord, not man. No man is ever God, except Jesus. He took on flesh. And so the penalty was, okay, if you won't acknowledge the emperor, then you will be crucified. And he simply said, that's the way my Lord died. I'm not worthy to be even that close to him. Do it upside down. And they did. Yeah. That's how much he loved Jesus. Right, so 1 Corinthians 13. This is that famous love passage that we see at weddings and things. Let's just read it through, and then I want to go back to verse 4, so you'll have to move the arrow up and down. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonour others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. Fancy that. This power that we have. Love never fails. Now go back to verse 4 for me, please, Graham. Right. Because we know that God is love, and because we know that Jesus is God, it is a legitimate transposition that I can transpose Jesus instead of the word love. Does everyone agree with that? That's reasonable to do, isn't it? So watch how this reads. Look. Jesus is patient. That's good news for some of us in this room. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus does not dishonor others. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Once again, I think that's pretty good news. Like this one, Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus always protects. I like that. Jesus always trusts. Jesus always hopes. Jesus always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Oh, okay. Let's go back to verse 4. Let's try a different one. Once again, a legitimate transposition. Now be kind, all right? Because Alan is called to love, Alan is patient. Alan is kind. Alan does not envy. All right, well, you've brought Kay into the equation. Just for those that are guests here, my wife's off ill, and if you come to this church, you would know how much I love my wife. And I find this fairly easy with Kay. In fact, I'll mark myself, or you can mark me if you like. Want to have a game, like play the generation cards? Okay. I know, look, it's very topical. Right, okay. Think of how I love Kay, and you tell me, shout out if you know. Alan is patient with Kay. Out of 10, come on.
9.
Who said 1? Well, she'd give me a 9. She's not a great patient, you know, this week. I'm finding it, that's being tested. Alan is kind. Come on, with Kay. How many out of 10? Come on. 9. Alan does not envy Kay. 10. Alan does not boast to Kay. Alan is not proud. I am proud of Kay. Alan does not dishonor Kay. 10. 10, definitely. Alan is not self-seeking. Alan is not easily angered to Kay. Did she grass me up? Okay. Alan keeps no record of wrongs about Kay. Ten, come on. And she's easy. I could go, you get the picture? Yeah. Obviously, right. Okay, now I'm going to, I've pre-warned Ken. All right? Let's take Ken out of the equation. Let's put Ken in the equation. Ken and I have been fellowshipping together for 7 years. 7 years? Feels like 2 minutes. Alan is patient with Ken. No! No! How many are you going to give me, Ken? You come on. I'm talking to you. To your, there we are. 10. Alan is kind to Ken. Alan does not envy Ken. Alan does not boast to Ken. Alan is not proud. Has it? Yeah. Do not dishonor Ken. Do you see the difference? Ken's easy to love. He really, I love this guy. You know, and he knows there's been one incident in the last 7 years where that has been really tested. And he knows that actually we had a conversation where I said to him, I love you to bits, but on this occasion, I need to lay down and let you do what you need to do. And he told me to get lost. Do you remember that conversation? Sitting in the car outside the house. Well, he didn't need to tell the room, Ken. No, but do you know? Do you see what I mean? Now then, I see. That's easy, isn't it? I've got a gorgeous wife. I've got a great mate. What about some others in the room? But then let's take it to a different level. This is a command from Jesus. I find it easy to lay my life down for Kay. I find it easy to lay down my life for a guy like Ken. Do you know there's a guy who... Look, it's only going out on the World Wide Web, I don't care. There's a guy that really gets up my nose. He presses my buttons like no other person I have ever met in the world. The church used to meet next door to this guy's house. No, no. We're not naming him Ken. This guy, do you know, I struggled so much with this guy. I mean, I could have killed him quite willingly. But I felt that tendency inside. I fought it, you know. Do you know one day what he did? He really upset two people that I love wholeheartedly. He upset Johnny and Madge. And I tell you what, I could have easily lost it. I could have absolutely lost everything there. It could have read, Alan is not patient. Alan is definitely not kind. Well, you get the picture. But I want to turn it from me. I want to turn it to you. Because that's what the Bible asks us to do. Hard, isn't it? Hard, hard, hard. The grown-up stuff, you know. Really difficult. I want you to remember that. And if you want some homework, do it at home. Take out your Bible. Read 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Yes, Cass? Yeah? But the trouble is, when you write something down, Catherine, God will test it. We're all tested. But this is the whole point of the sermon, you see. When we are in... When we are in our own strength, it is absolutely impossible. Some people are great and easy and, you can just get along with them. But we're not talking about that. We are talking a command from our Lord Jesus Christ that you and I are to move to this standard where we will love our enemies. I can't even love the people in church sometimes. And you know that's true. But against that, we're on a journey. And I said this last week, and I said again, you can look over your shoulder. And I want you to do this. Where were you 12 months ago? In your walk. Because I can celebrate that 12 months ago, I was further not like Jesus. I'm a little bit more this year. I'm excited. I'm not the complete article, anything but. But keep doing the right thing. Keep reading the Bible. Keep worshipping God. Keep being filled with the Spirit of God. Keep doing the next right thing. And actually, he'll do his part. And slowly, 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 less of me, more of him. That's the goal for all of us, isn't it? We can't do it. But we can if we let him. And poor old Peter, look, when we left John's Gospel. I like Peter. I've got a lot of time for Peter. Peter can be the brunt of some unhelpful sermons. This is a guy who got out of the boat when no one else did. Walked on water. Let's look at what else we've got there. Let's look at Mark's Gospel. Is it Mark I used or was it Matthew? I think it's Mark. Do you remember where we left him in John? Peter saying, look, I'll lay down my life for you. And if I asked you in this room today, many in this room would say, I'd lay down my life for you. Is that right? Some of you would in the room then. Okay. Look, this is the same scene. Peter declared, even if all fall away, if everyone in this room denies you, Jesus, I'm not going to deny you. I will not. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. That's a conversation killer. Peter insisted emphatically, no way, Lord. Even if I have to die with you, I'll never, never disown you. And notice this. This is why I've chosen this passage. And all the others said the same. Everybody else at that table said, there's no way, Jesus, that we're ever going to deny. There are three main characters portrayed in John's scene. There is Jesus himself. There's Judas. Judas who betrayed Christ. I made the point. Judas is probably seated to Jesus' left, the place of honour. Because we know that Jesus hands him the bread, the sop. He dips it into that wine vinegar and gives it to him. And Judas refuses the love of Christ. Can you imagine looking into Christ's eyes that close and actually rejecting the love that he has for you? And there's nothing else you can do. You know, we looked at 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. It will not fail if you will receive it. But you have a choice. Judas chose not to receive it. But Peter messes up. If Judas, I hate the word, backslides, if he goes away from Jesus, what does Peter do? We can learn so much from this guy. Peter front slides, I call it. Do you know when you sit and you think that can never, ever happen to me? You are in a very dangerous place. When you are overconfident, when you are trusting in your ability, you are in a fearful place. Do you know, many pastors have fallen since the conception of the church, since that church was revealed to the world, all over the world, pastors have thought they were immune to sin, to having affairs, extramarital affairs, and all sorts of things. Huge damage is done to the message. And they do it because they think that they are above this stuff. Let me tell you something. Think back to the Leviticus passage. That's what's in your heart and mine. That's there. Out of the heart flow evil. Thoughts of lust, adultery, murder, envy, strife. All those things that are against what love stands for. It's in you as well. That's his first mistake that Peter made. He thought that it couldn't happen to him. If you follow the story through on the Gospels, we find this. We find that Peter, when he runs away, he does do what Christ said, he does deny him. When he runs away, we find Peter then following at a distance, in the dark. The others have gone. John's obviously around because he's at the scene as well. But there's Peter hiding in the darkness. And many people, I find, don't mind following Jesus at a distance. That's all right. I can manage that. That's a dangerous place to be when you follow him at a distance. The other problem that you then find, because it front sliding, the same as backsliding really, is a progression. The next scene that you see when we get to the cross, or just before the cross, is Peter is warming himself at the fire. He's actually around the enemies of Christ. If you were an onlooker looking at that scene, you would see no difference between Peter and the rest of those people. I wonder, if people looked at your life and mine, would they see a difference between those who deny Christ and those who say he's Lord? They should, shouldn't they? They should. And when you're on that slope, if you're on that slope, it leads to the natural conclusion which Jesus had forewarned him about. You will deny Christ. There is a difference, look, and I want to end with this. There's a difference between what Judas did and what Jesus did. Sorry, not Jesus, what Peter did. Judas, if you follow his story through the Bibles, through the various Gospels, you will find that Judas acted premeditatively. He knew exactly what he was doing. We don't know the reasons behind, and you can speculate the reasons why Judas did what he did, but it was premeditated. He'd already been to the high priest and said what he would do. But Peter just got caught up in the moment. And don't we do that sometimes? You know, don't we just get ourselves into something that we wish we'd really not got ourselves into? Or is that just me? Am I in the wrong church this morning? But he'd already said, look, I'll lay down my life for you. And we say these words, and words are cheap, aren't they, John? Anyone can say words. Which is why I said to Catherine, those words you write on the card will be tested. Peter, in his moment of weakness, in his stumbling, denies him. Didn't catch Jesus by surprise. I love the bit where Jesus tells Mary, go and tell my disciples and Peter, who'll be having a sad on now, and all the world will forever read about what Peter did, and when we're in heaven we can say, you're the guy who denied him. Or shall we be kind to Peter? Because there might be days when we deny him. Didn't catch Jesus by surprise. Never stopped Peter being used in ministry. That's great news for us. That actually Jesus can use someone who's not perfect. Fresh beginnings. Do you know, I want to end on fresh beginnings. Sorry? Yeah. I always say this, look. If I'd thought about it, in fact, I'll use my notepad. Imagine that's a blank piece of paper. I know it's got lines on. Oh, we'll use it with lines, look. There's a blank piece of paper. Do you know you get to write your story on that blank piece of paper? You get to write your story. You can write... Well, you can write under the inspiration and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You can choose to be the person Jesus wants you to be. All the mistakes that we've made. Do you remember what he said in the love? Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. How about that? How about that as a challenge when we leave here? That actually today, tomorrow, the day after, you take a blank piece of paper, new beginnings, no record of wrongs, and you step forward and be the person Jesus wants us to be. Can you imagine the effect we might have on the world? So that when you go to work or wherever you go, Monday morning, people that you're surrounded by will say, that person has been with Jesus. In your marriage, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? That person has been with Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, I want to thank you for loving me. There's days sometimes when I don't even love myself. And I marvel at what love is. Thank you for your patience. Thank you that you keep no record of wrongs. Thank you that you just want me to be the person that you want me to be. And that you give me your spirit to be that very person. I pray for everyone here, Lord, and for those that are not here today. Father, touch us each one of us, I pray, with your spirit. Cleanse us from our sins. Help us not to be overconfident, but rather confident in you. In Jesus' name, amen.